Are you ready to explore a new way of looking at yourself and your life, to move past transition into transformation? I'm Pamela Hale, and Through a Different Lens Coaching is for people who want to make a difference. We provide powerful, practical tools for accelerated progress. Become the pilot of your own life and spread your wings, soar, and thrive. Visit throughadifferentlens.com or call 520-825-5463. Through a Different Lens, see a new path of possibility.
Well, with that wonderful introduction of that commercial, I welcome Pamela Hale, indeed, from Through a Different Lens. How are you this morning, Pam?
Oh, I'm delighted to be here for this last segment.
I know, number 7 of 7, plus our first introductory. For our listeners who may not be familiar, go out to Through a Different Lens, it's LENS.com, to learn about Pam's work in a variety of spaces, all focused on creativity and unleashing new capabilities for folks. Training sessions, group experiences, special prompting cards, and of course your beautiful book, Flying Lessons. So we're up to lesson number 7, aren't we, today?
We are.
Wrapping it up, give way to the winds.
Yes, give way to the winds. And this is an interesting one because for those who have listened to other segments, you know, we've been trying to put on our wings and fly and achieve, if you will, race.
And deal with controllers or lack thereof.
Yes, all of that. And so give way to the winds. Why are we ending with that? Well, I think this parallels my own story because, as you know, the book is part memoir. And so at a certain point in our lives, we have to start surrendering. We have to start facing reality.
Yeah, yeah.
We have to let go of some things in our lives when forces are just too large for us. And so the parallel I like to strike with this in the aviation world is that pilots talk about this terrible disease that pilots can get that can prove fatal. It's called get-there-itis.
Get-there-itis, okay.
And, of course, we can have get-there-itis right here on the ground, too. So the tragic example of get-there-itis could be John Kennedy Jr., who listeners may remember trying to fly some passengers to a family wedding. It's getting dark. He doesn't have instrument rating, so he should not be flying at night. He's got a cast on his foot, which is not optimal for somebody who's trying to control an airplane using the rudder pedals on the floor. Mm-hmm. And he evidently kind of knew that he was over his head because reports say that he was looking around for a flight instructor to accompany him and didn't find one. So I'm sure his passengers just said, oh, it'll be fine. We really want to get there. And he went, and they all died.
Right.
So this is a tragic kind of lesson about sometimes we are tempted to take the strategy that has been our favorite one in the past.
And probably has served
and do it harder.
And has served us well, though.
It probably
too.
Has. And to do it harder and keep attached to it instead of surrendering to the reality that this is over our heads and too big. So so that's get-there-itis. And the subject of this lesson is about the kind of discernment it takes when you've already learned to fly, whether you're flying as a leader or as a pilot or as a parent or however you're flying, and you something comes along, a challenge comes along that forces you to discern, do I keep going for it here or do I back off? Do I surrender? And so part of this really does hit a mark with people who believe in a higher power. Because when things get too big for us, if you are fortunate enough to have faith, then, you know, you can hand it over to a higher power when it's beyond the capability of our small mind to figure it out.
Although some people might say, well, that's a cop-out. You're just bailing. You know, you're not taking ownership. You're not holding yourself accountable.
Yeah.
But you're saying that, no, this is something even bigger than that.
And I'm saying, you know, the last lesson was broaden your scan. So in a way, this is another way of broadening your scan. I'm thinking, you know, and listeners might think, I'm thinking of a dilemma that I have right now that I'm just having trouble. I can't figure it out with my mind. It just seems like there's no good solution with my mind. So where do I go? Well, so I want to go to a bigger space.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go to a place where my vision, the lens that I'm looking through, can be a wider lens. And so if I go to my higher power, if I go to the spiritual dimension of my life, then that's a way of broadening my scan and hopefully clarifying the situation for me. So doing it harder can lead to disaster. And, of course, the challenge of this lesson is that we all have egos. Nothing wrong with having an ego. The ego helps us drive the freeway.
You bet.
Helps us fill in our calendar, helps mm-hmm. us operate. But the ego really does believe that control is life, and lack of control is death.
It's death, yeah.
And so we have to remember to remember. This is a teacher of mine gave me that phrase. I love it. We have to remember to remember. Oh, that's just the voice of the ego. And so that's only part of the equation. So it's like the perennial iceberg people use in slides and all
right,
kinds
exactly.
of presentations.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
Where, you know, the ego is good at the visible part of the iceberg, but it's not good at the invisible part that is the greater part that's under the surface. And so when we're trying to figure out things where there are invisible but huge and very real components, we need to back off. We need to back off of that, of what that, the way that ego wants to go. And one way to think about this is that as we get to know ourselves, we can get to know the fact that the ego's belief is based on fear.
Yeah.
And it's based on the fear that we're not adequate. And so maybe if we do more of this, we'll be adequate. The only trouble is there's more and more and more.
Right, exactly.
And it's
never enough.
And so the ego's path leaves us either to feeling superior or to feeling despair.
Yep.
And it also leads us into a classic triangle that I've talked about in my book, classic triangle of disempowerment. And the three points of that triangle are being a victim, being a perpetrator, and being a rescuer. And when we're in the ego, the land of the ego, and we're mm-hmm. trapped there, and we kind of rotate from points of the triangle. So maybe we've played victim, but when we really get angry at how victimized we've been, then we get tempted to play the role of the perpetrator.
Yeah.
And when there's somebody in our lives who's doing that, often we want to play the rescuer, and the ego loves to think
that I'm important, that I rescued the day.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And so so backing off, giving way to the winds, allows us to be carried. Mm-hmm. It allows us to fly. So to go back to the aviation metaphor, I can go back to the metaphor also of how to recover from a stall. So when you're in flight training, you have to do purposeful stalls and then keep practicing recovering from them. So how you do that is you're up flying around and you slow the plane down and then you pull the yoke, which is your, like the steering wheel of the plane. You pull the yoke back, which raises the nose. So now the nose of the plane is going up, 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 and it looks very, very abnormal. And finally the plane stops flying and the nose now drops. And you look out the window and you see ground.
Ground, yeah.
This is not a pleasant sight. You don't want to be looking at ground. And so what is your instinct? It's
pull
to pull back.
Pull back, yeah.
Pull up, because you're saying, I want to go up, up. But if you do that, you deepen the stall and you can go into a spin, and this is how many crashes occur. So the paradox is that the way to recover from a stall is to let go.
Mm. Yeah.
It's to let go of the controls and realize that the plane is designed to fly. It will remember how to fly if you just don't keep it from flying. And so you can see how this metaphor weaves into our own lives. If we can believe that our souls remember how to fly, and our minds and our egos sometimes can work with the soul to keep us heading toward true north, But sometimes we can get in a spot where something's too big for us and the ego wants to wrest controls away. And that's where we have to remember to remember.
Remember to remember. But this idea, though, of being in the stall, you know, and letting go and letting it, letting the plane or your life take its own course correction or allow other things to come in to help, that takes a tremendous amount of faith and courage.
It does. And
ability to block out others that are telling, well, you should do this and you should do that.
Yes. But, you know, I learned a lot about this in my cancer journey. Because a healing journey like cancer is an example of a kind of challenge where there are all those opinions. So mm-hmm. doctors are giving you different opinions. And sometimes there's no clear one opinion. In my case, I had a lumpectomy, and it wasn't enough. And my doctors, because my mother and grandmother had died of cancer, my doctors said, you know, we think that you've got to choose between a single and double mastectomy. Well, my husband and I had this trip to Europe planned, and it was I was doing research on my father, who's mm-hmm. also in this book, because he was a bomber pilot. He was killed when I was a baby. So I was doing this research on him, and we were going to see his grave. So it was very ironic. Here I am standing in Ardennes Military Cemetery in Brussels in front of my father's grave saying, oh, Daddy, you died at 27.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be my expert on early death? Because I don't know if I'm going to make it out of this. And I just wish you were here to talk to me. And in the way that we all hear something, not with our physical ears, but with our inner ears, I thought I heard him say, oh, honey, I don't think this is about facing your death. I think this is about facing your life. And something completely shifted for me, mm-hmm. and I got it. I got that this cancer, for whatever reason, is part of my journey. And do I want to say yes to my journey, or do I want to say no? Because if I say no to my journey, what does that mean? But if I say yes to my journey, if I can have faith that my journey in its whole is good, and I don't like having cancer at this point, I don't like any part of the treatment or anything, but if I have faith that I can say yes to my journey, that means saying yes to the cancer part of the journey. And that opened up all kinds of other possibilities.
And strength and vantage points and perspectives.
Yeah.
Your having said that is very clear. I recently interacted with someone I know very, very well who was going through a very, very difficult divorce involving challenges with custody for children and all sorts of tough things. And I kept, probably unknowingly, I'm thinking, well, how can I transpose some of the knowledge I've gained of the work I do? And I said, just keep thinking about the journey, not about the steps and the destination, the total journey, and put that in perspective.
There you go. You did the same thing. So this is what in shamanic practice we'd call the view of the eagle, the medicine of the eagle, being able to be high above, or other people might call it being in the balcony, where you're looking down and you're seeing the whole journey, and this is just a part. It's enormously comforting, actually.
But also not just seeing it, but also then giving way to the winds.
Well, yes. And the giving way to the wind. So the giving way to the winds part isn't to relinquish responsibility.
Right.
It's more like to give up denial.
Give up denial, yeah.
And give way to where you are. Give way if you're in an airplane and there's strong winds carrying you. It doesn't mean just, oh, well, I'll let go of the controls. It means really facing the situation that you're in. So, you know, we keep using Captain Sully Sullenberger as an example, mm-hmm. but that was somebody who, in a way, gave way to the winds, gave way to the situation he was in, and therefore he was enabled to act in a radical way. So, in order to sort of make this usable for
Please.
Listeners, mm-hmm. I like to think of my flight instructor Cleo's advice, because every one of this lesson
has
these lessons has Cleo's advice.
As if she's in the room with us right
yes.
now. Yes,
and so Cleo would say, number one, stick to your boundaries about safe flight. So that means, do you have enough fuel to be doing what you're doing right now? how's the weather around you? Are you being realistic about what the weather conditions are like in your life or around your situation? And is your vehicle, your body, mind, spirit, is your vehicle able to handle the crosswinds? Today's a windy day in Tucson, so
right, yeah.
You know, if I were flying, I'd be thinking about that. So number two is, it's supposed to be fun. Oh, this is a lesson I tended to forget all the way through my training. Oh, it is? The F word. It's supposed to be fun. Okay.
Particularly when you talk with such a great, compelling nature that so much of your journey to get your pilot's license involved overcoming the other F word, which is fear.
Yes, yes. And so I wasn't having fun, and my husband kept reminding me it's supposed to be fun. And so when I finished it, I looked back and thought, if I were doing it again, I would do it with a lighter heart. And probably before I pass on to another realm, I'll look back and say, I would have done everything with a lighter heart. And so number three, Cleo's advice, is in turbulence, just keep flying the plane. So as we said, that's just repeating the fact that giving way to the winds means facing reality. It doesn't mean stopping
yeah.
flying the plane. And in fact, the discernment about whether to keep on when the times get tough mm-hmm. is the kind of choice that forms character and makes a hero or heroine.
Well, and I think as well as we go through these compounding experiences in our lives, it's a major component to building resilience. And so both the explicit knowledge and the tacit knowledge of how to just stay the course.
Right. Right. So so I could just invite listeners to think of a conflict or a dilemma or challenge you have and to apply give way to the winds to it. And here are five steps. Okay.
Okay.
Number one is practice, quote, dying to your conflict. Like, give up all the theories and attachments you have. Just move out of your own way. Dare to do that. And then number two, you could look at the options you've been considering and ask this question, which option would be for life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And which would be a kind of death? So number three, you might ask, which option brings me closer to being my whole self? And then number four, if you believe in a higher power, and, you know, even if you call it nature, doesn't matter what you call it, if you believe in something bigger than you are, ask that higher power to help you release anything that isn't for your whole self and isn't for life and isn't for truth.
You know, that is obviously a huge step for people to make, though, because that means letting go of what may have served them well as what hasn't served them well in their past.
Absolutely. And it can be very painful.
Yeah, yeah.
Very painful
because
and
even
very
the
difficult.
And painful, because even the things that you know aren't right, you at least know what they are, and those are sometimes the toughest to get rid of.
That's right. There are old familiars.
Yeah, old familiars, yeah.
But my one of my core shamanic teachers, Alberto Violdo, said, when you go down the path, you can't take everything and the kitchen sink.
And the kitchen sink, that's right.
So number five would be, after you've done all these things, you've died to your old attachments and theories, you've asked which would be for life and which would be for a kind of death, which option would bring me closer to my whole self, and you've asked for help releasing anything that isn't for your whole self, now look at your challenge again and head toward your true north. And what's your true north? It can be pretty simple if you just think of it as whatever has truth and beauty in it.
And so the true north, we might want to spend a bit of time talking about that term. I mean, obviously true north is just foundational for aviation. You're
right.
Always referencing true north.
Right.
For stargazing, where's the north star?
Right.
But even the business context of the true mission of the organization or the true end goal or desired outcome.
Uh-huh.
But on a deep personal level, knowing that life is an ongoing journey and that you're going to change which road you take, which kind of vehicle you're going to drive, and so on. There's mm-hmm. a lot more that comes into that divining true north.
Absolutely.
Because your body's changing. I mean, think of children. Their body's changing. Your mental capability's changing. Your spirit is evolving.
Absolutely. And so it's kind of a lifetime pursuit, that personal true north. But we feel our way into it, and that's what this book is really about, is using these lessons to not just think about where's true north, but to feel and use all your inner instruments to head toward true north, which is where what you came here for, mm-hmm. what your soul came here to do, that soul that already knows how to fly, that yeah. is already connected to
that's
everything.
Right.
And when we do this, the gift of this lesson is that the opposite happens from what we think is going to happen. When we have to give up something, we feel deprived, we feel often anger, we feel grief, we feel like a lot is going to be lost. And actually, when we give way to the winds, we become connected to all that is. We become connected to something larger than we are, and those winds lift us just as they lift the airplane, and the airplane remembers it's back in right relationship with those winds that lift it, and its wings work again.
And in fact, this is probably not a one-time occurrence in our life then.
Oh, no.
Right? And in fact, if it's one that can be multiple times, it's like cleaning up the closets, you know, on a pretty odd cycle. Or, you know, for people that relocate, move their family, this cathartic nature of what do I save, toss, sell, donate, right? That there's that process of refresh.
Absolutely. All the time. And that's why the art of feng shui and the art and science of feng shui works. Because when we do, I just cleaned out my closet for spring. And I just feel so good that I've got these two big piles, and I'm going to show them to my friend first, and then they're going to go to the thrift shop.
And then they're going to go to the thrift shop.
Right.
So, Pam, you know, here we are already, like we both said, started the segment. This is lesson number 7. And each one of these 7 lessons with the metaphors to flight, you're telling us a story with Cleo, the connection with your own journey throughout. What year was it that you wrote your book?
It was published just about a year ago.
A year ago. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you think about how much life even that's unfolded in this year ago, right? And that you got a National Book Award related mm-hmm. to self-publishing and so on. So tell us, where are you within your own journey, courtesy of having done your book?
Well, that's a nice question. Well, one blessing is that I have this wonderful group that meets in my home. I call it the Advanced Flying Lessons Group.
Right.
And we explore a lesson every month, and then we use ceremony and ritual and a sacred circle to deepen the practices and apply them. And that has been so powerful, not just for them, but for me. It's just been wonderful. And so I'm also going to take these podcasts and fashion an online course. So I hope that people who are listening who aren't local, who can't be in that local group, could take advantage of that. But for me, it's one of the magical things about writing this book has been that I think I wrote some of it in an altered state. So that sometimes, like reviewing this,
you're like, wow, did I really see
yes,
that? Did I really come up with
it? I read this lesson and thought, I've got to apply my own words.
Right.
To this dilemma I'm facing right now in my life, for example. And so the lessons that I wrote turn around and work me.
And I think anyone that does really free-form journaling or writes books, whatever the genre might be, it becomes part of that informative journey.
It does.
So it's been a year since your book had come out. Tell me some of the most major or profound ahas, meaning, wow, I wasn't expecting that to happen, or that email or that approach from someone who bought your book?
Well, I've had a couple of people in this flying lessons group just say that this has opened up a whole new life for them. I mean, I've gotten a couple of emails that really, I've said to my husband, I could take this email and just say, this is enough.
This is enough, and this is why I did the book.
Yeah, this is...
So someone who really reached out and said, you've gifted me something powerful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, congratulations again, Pam. For those of you who'd like to follow up, please do visit throughadifferentlens.com. Pamela Hale, her book, Flying Lessons, Create a Life of... your subtitle.
How to
be the pilot of your own life. That's right. It's going to create a life of possibility. That's in the mix. But we really wish you the best of well. And thank you so much for contributing to our show. It's been a great pleasure.
And thank you, Zara. Thank you for the lovely work you do. It's an offering to the community that's really important.
You bet. We're going to continue on. We'll be in touch soon.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.